Patience. Once upon a time in an ancient eastern province, there was an emperor who had discovered an injured heron in his garden. After it had been nurtured back to health, he had kept it caged, refusing to free it with the argument, "Herons are omens, and now that I have protected it, it in turn will protect me from the ill luck that continually haunts me." Soon, however, the bird sickened and began to lose its feathers. Now, when the emperor exclaimed out loud as to whether there would ever be an end to his misfortunes, a faithful servant had offered to catch another heron, suggesting that a mate for his pet heron could be a perfect remedy and would bring even greater luck. So, for over a month, this faithful servant had repeatedly tried to catch another heron, but to no avail. Eventually, he sought the advice of an old fisherman. "Because of your impatience for a quick result, you use methods that won't work," offered the wise fisherman. "This fine creature has an intuitive awareness tuned to approaching danger. You must seek to catch it using the ways of the heron. Observe it. Look for where it rests, for it does not build nests like others. Its detachment is its strength. See how it stands, as evenly balanced on one leg as on two, yet as still as stone. Watch how it patiently fishes, immovable while its prey unaware swims by. You must be like that too." The servant went back, and after stealthily moving towards the peaceful marsh that his prey frequented, the servant submerged himself in the soggy ground entirely covered and hidden by the surrounding reed foliage. He soon learned that keeping so still was excruciating, and he longed to move. It was hours later, just when he could hardly bear his imposed prison any longer, that he at last caught sight of the bird. The heron was returning. Flying low with legs hanging down as herons do, the bird did not even touch the ground. Like lightning, a strong hand shot from the harmless-looking reeds and tightly clasped its leg. The surprise attack had been so fast that the startled creature was in a sack before it knew what had befallen it. Now the emperor was delighted and immediately placed the captive with the other. "There now, my heron, I have a mate for you. What emperor would be so generous as that? Between you now, you can keep my ill fortune at bay." Shivering more from rage than fear, the newly captured heron was surprised to see her forlorn cousin and launched a deluge of questions, including, "Why are you still here? It's been so long. Why have you not escaped?" "That's easy for you to say," her cousin replied, "but another thing to do. I have been impatient to get out for what seems my whole life, but the opportunity has never fallen to hand. Regardless as to how much I squawk and struggle, these bars will hold me." "Well, it seems that you have been around humans too long, for you have struggled in the wrong way. To be free, we simply have to act naturally." The next day, the emperor noticed that both birds lay completely still, and as he jolted the cage to stir them, their lifeless bodies remained so. "Oh, what further misfortune is this?" he shouted in horror. "They must have infected each other with some ill that they independently carried." Opening the cage, the emperor ordered the two dead birds to be removed. Within moments of being laid on the ground, both herons immediately took to the sky in escape. "You see," said the heron to her cousin, "patience liberates. I was trapped by patience, and now we are free through it. Patience will always bring a quicker result than impatience." "But we might have been buried alive," the cousin protested. "Yes, you have been around humans too long," answered the other. Herons are fortunate in their ability to remain patiently still in fishing for what they want. For his part, man is unique in placing time constraints on the results that he wants in life, and in doing so becomes restless rather than still. It is, of course, far easier to be patient for something when the outcome of it is certain, because in our certainty, there is less room for anxiety. There is a direct correlation between patience and certainty, as there is between impatience and doubt. The more impatient you are for something to go the way you want, the more you begin to question whether it will. Say, for example, you begin to question an intuitive idea that you were certain was right. Your questioning causes you increasingly to doubt it until you think it is absurd and either ignore or distort it to fit in with your perfectly rational constraints. Although the idea was most certainly right, your rationale, influenced by your impatience to get where you're going, perceives it as wrong, or at least too slow a route to your desired result. The key to being patient, therefore, is in having greater certainty of the outcome. But the immediate obstacle for us in accepting such a concept is how can we be certain of an outcome when we can only at best influence an event and time that has not yet happened? This concept is alien enough to our conditioned thinking, but harnessing the immense power that infinite patience affords requires us to go even further into previously forgotten ways of thinking. Yet in applying the prerequisites of the concept, one begins to recognize or know again that it is the natural way of thinking, a new unbounded way that produces quicker results. For without doubt, patience with another reflects the measure of the patience we have with ourselves. This is the basis of the paradox. Infinite patience brings immediate results. Before understanding what is involved, take a few moments after listening to the following two concepts to reflect upon them. 1. Harnessing the power of infinite patience will put you at ease. 2. The absolute certainty that what you deeply want for yourself inevitably happens will free you from your insistence on having it now. Your thoughts will have reaffirmed what is seemingly common or natural sense. But common sense is rarely common practice. What is common practice is allowing the ego's demands based on fear and impatience to dominate our thinking. It is the ego that insists on having what it wants now by convincing us how much is missing from our life. If its demands are not satisfied, it convinces us how unfair life is to us. Conversely, if we do not satisfy it, it will simply furnish us with another set of demands tomorrow. So long as we allow the ego to dominate our thinking, we will not attain the infinite patience that detachment from outcome requires. We must seek to cultivate infinite patience through becoming certain about our outcomes, while simultaneously being unconcerned as to when and how. This involves understanding our relationships with everything around us. In the same way that a drop of water taken from the ocean has the same characteristics as its source, so each of us are part of something. In the East, they have the Tao Te Ching, which says, to know that what is in everything. And numerous others, statements like that appear in many of the classic spiritual works, all reminders of our connectedness with everything. Irrespective of one's faith or definition of God, as such a thing is very much a personal choice, acknowledging that you are part of something that is infinite in its possibilities allows you to recognize that what you want can be yours. It follows that our ability to trust in this connectedness is proportionate to our ability to know that we can receive what it is we want. This acceptance in turn allows us to remove all demands and time constraints as to the how and when we will receive, thus cultivating the virtue of infinite patience. In harmony with other paradoxical truths, the very action of releasing the impeding forces that impatience and attachment unwillingly attract allows the more immediate realization of what you want. Take two individuals studying to become proficient in a particular subject. One is desperate to gain recognition of his proficiency and seeks title, badge, and award. The other, absolutely certain of the outcome of the dreams that originally motivate him to study, yet unconcerned as to how or when they will be fulfilled, receives recognition ahead of the first. While the first attached his feeling of importance to the award, the other, having let go of such expectations, conscientiously went about his daily business. Letting go in the knowledge that you will receive is infinitely more powerful than holding on in the hope you may receive, as it places your energy in harmony with the order of the way things work. Now, admittedly, this is a difficult concept to accept, as patiently detaching ourselves from those things that are important to us is in direct conflict with the way we've been taught. But the fact is that if you have an emotional attachment to the result, then you will interfere with the process. And we've only got control over the process in our lives, never the end result. So what's important is to let go the emotional attachment to the result and work on the process. Imagine someone with the following two choices. The first choice is feeling happy only when things turned out just the way they want. The second choice is feeling happy whether things turned out the way they wanted or not. Although the obvious choice is the second, in reality, almost everyone adopts the former. The second choice can only be experienced through the practice of patient detachment. When you let go of something, it comes to you. Consider your involvement with a current situation that holds great importance to you. Think about when you want it to reach a fruitful conclusion. Take a moment to observe how you feel. Now, in the knowledge that you will continue to go about your business diligently, patiently detach yourself from the outcome. Observe how you feel now. Say to yourself that because you are absolutely certain that what you want will happen, you are completely unconcerned as to how or when it will. Observe how you feel now. Notice how, if what you were thinking of concerns you, your feelings of frustration and anxiety diminish. Notice also how, if what you were thinking of inspired you, a new certainty smothered rising doubts. Although it is good to lose frustrations, doubts, and anxiety, your ego begins to feel uncomfortable as its power over you is threatened. Knowing how to squeeze your Achilles heel, it immediately seeks to quell any rebellion by your true self by convincing you that such passive thinking will never gain you what you want. Your impatience is positive, the ego will suggest, as it fuels you to push for what you want and is therefore crucial for your security. As these demands increase, your anxiety level increases. The ego does not want you to feel your connectedness with everything, for in allowing that, it removes its main source of power in making you feel unique. The less you feel singled out for what your life offers, the harder the ego has to work to convince you that your security is under continual threat. If you become internally driven rather than externally influenced for your security needs, then the ego is out of a job. Often, when we decide we want something, we want it now. And when we do not get it straight away, we feel that life is unfair, that we've been treated unjustly, even cheated. Sometimes we convince ourselves that it is because others and even forces beyond us do not want us to have what we want. In choosing to believe that we have been singled out, we convince ourselves that the acquisition of our desires is at the mercy of the inquisition by others. Every time we allow ourselves to become impatient, we are devaluing ourselves and failing to trust in the power of our connectedness with everything. Turning all the traffic lights to red or refusing to grant you a single parking space when you are short of time does not figure in some great design. It is our own confused thoughts that attract the seemingly chaotic events that we experience. To view the realization of what you want as a favor is to begin the process of bargaining with some infinite force, which people tend to do more acutely when their needs must. Seeking to strike deals stems from believing that every individual is separate from other living beings. The universe responds to you when you recognize it for what it is, something of which you are very much a part. In accepting this, you're able to attract what you ardently want and which already exists to yourself. Now, admittedly, this is not immediately digestible. Our daily actions of judging and evaluating others form a continuous stream of affirmations that render any understanding of our connectedness with others impossible. Just because we are physically separate, however, it does not follow that we are metaphysically separate. Metaphorically speaking, each of us have an extended interconnected body that has the ability to manifest through an intricate system of receivers and transmitters contained within our physical body, whatever we choose to attract or emit. This is the basis of the law of attraction. Whatever we dominantly think about, we attract to ourselves. Each of us is like an individualized energy wave, sending out and receiving thoughts which coordinate or tune in with matching vibrations. Being impatient, for example, will cause you to emit, and thus attract, a different level of vibration, which, although it will match what you unconsciously asked for, is not what you actually wanted. When you practice infinite patience towards an outcome, you literally transmit an undistorted wave of energy for your extended body to receive. Your extended body locates the existence of the objectivity that matches the subjectivity of your transmission and manifests it for you. The result is quicker because the intention transmitted is infinitely clearer. Our extended body will not recognize our demands as to how and when it should deliver to us. It will only recognize the clarity of why you want to receive. The level of consciousness required to manifest objects instantaneously is known as Siddhi consciousness. It is a level when the period of pure thought from transmission to receiving is instantaneous. Sirisaya Sai Baba, who millions claim is an avatar of our age, has attained this level of consciousness. Living in Puttaparthi, near Bangalore, southern India, his manifestations have been witnessed and recorded by the most respected Western and Eastern professional institutions. One can only suppose that at this level requires complete faith in accepting that we are one with everything without limitation. This would preclude any abuse of such immense power. Although each of us holds the potential to attain such a level of consciousness, we have conditioned ourselves within our environment not to acquire it. What we are able to accomplish, however, are more immediate results simply through patience. Experiencing it is by far the best way to see the results that it delivers. Over a 7-day period, make a list of everything that is important for you to achieve, either short-term or long-term. Focus particularly on those elements that, however small, seem to frustrate you. They literally try your patience. During this time, become conscious of whenever you feel impatient or frustrated. Each time you feel these emotions, remind yourself that you are entirely unconcerned as to when or how the object that is causing your impatience or frustration will come about or be resolved. Just say to yourself that you are certain that whatever the outcome, it will be in your best interests. Persevere and you will be astounded at what will happen. Be aware of things that begin to show up in your life that you've not noticed before. Although they may not be quite what you're expecting, the frequency with which they appear will make you more conscious of them. Act on whatever you begin to notice while trying very hard to release all judgment towards the events. Trying to prejudge the result is a sure indication that you are once again becoming attached to the shape of life as it used to be. The synchronistic happenings you're experiencing are resulting from a heightened consciousness prompted by your patient detachment. At this level, you are now consciously making contact with a universal source of energy that was previously below your conscious level. Remember to act on the things that are now coming to you, as this signals that the universe, it signals to the universe that you are ready to receive. To have the virtue of patience, it is important to acknowledge obstacles as opportunities to strengthen you and not as indications of failure. In attempting to patiently let go of an outcome, there will be a tendency to view obstacles that begin to appear as evidence that what you are embarking upon is not working. The ego will always use such obstacles as proof to deny the existence of your connectedness to a universal energy. In doing so, it attempts to regain its influence over you, which your new actions of patience and detachment are causing it to lose. Detaching yourself from an outcome does not mean giving up on it. Determination and persistence are valuable ingredients in both testing your resolve and surmounting life's inevitable obstacles. The message of this audio must not be misinterpreted as the opportunity just to sit back and do nothing, thinking that everything will be taken care of. It is to continue to ensure that you go about your daily routines relative to what you are working towards, while being unconcerned as to the outcome, but certain that it will be right for you in some form. The art of receiving immediate results for yourself through infinite patience lies in occupying a higher state of awareness, rather than allowing yourself to feel that you are being pushed around by the whims that are out of your control. Consider the difficulties that have caused you to reevaluate your life in order to surmount them. Such reflection will confirm that each one was both timely and appropriate, although it might not have seemed so at the time. Your reflection will also reveal to you that having more patience would have surmounted the difficulty with less pain than your impatience gave you. However, when you are impatient to get out of something, or into something for that matter, you are more liable to compromise yourself. The fact is that every obstacle you encounter offers the opportunity to propel you to this higher state of awareness. It provides a test for your certainty of attaining what you have resolved to attain. There is no timetable when you have infinite patience, and there can be no failure when you have detached yourself from how the desired result will come about. In essence, always focus on what it is you want, but let go the emotional attachment to the result and concentrate on the process.
This is the end of the disc.